Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. My name is Cherie Zack, and I'm coming to you live from Beaufort, South Carolina, along with my beautiful, beautiful sweet friend, Rebecca LeConte, my co-host, coming to us live in San Diego. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hey, Cherie. You and your introductions, you make me laugh all the time. Thank you so much.
Well, I was going to go a little personal, and then I remembered some wise words of a friend who said, don't share things if your radio audience doesn't already know about it. So there you go. So good morning. How are you doing, Rebecca?
You know, I am great. God is so good. He is moving, and he's always moving. But, you know, sometimes we get into a season where he's really moving in powerful ways, and we can see it immediately. And we're in one of those seasons right now at the chapel and in Imperfect Wives with our local group. And I think here in Imperfect Wives in as a whole. And that, to me, is always exciting. You know, I'm like a little kid. You know, I'm jumping up and down and clapping my hands. Going, yay, God!
We have a, you know, we have a local group here at Beaufort that meets as well. And we are doing the study Redeemed by Carrie Clarenceau. And it is an incredible study. And God is really using it to minister to us as a whole, our group here. Just incredible study. God redeems us, and we forget that He redeems time, that He redeems the things that have been taken from us. He redeems us, you know, from our sin, and He's really challenging us in this study. So I always love to hear about your group, and then you always love to hear about my group, because I always call you afterwards, Rebecca. Guess what happened tonight?
I
Something
know.
Always happens at the Imperfect Wives.
Yes. And we're so grateful because that's God. And, you know, Cherie, what He keeps telling me is ask for more. If you're not asking for enough. Ask for more. So I've been asking for a lot more lately. So if you're listening today and you need more from God, you need to ask.
Yeah.
There you go. A bonus.
I thought you were saying ask for more in your group. I got you now. I'm thinking, no, I'm good. Somehow, ladies, I can. It's incredible to be able to lead a ministry like this, and even more incredible that God is using our lives to do it, because this ministry was born out of my struggles with my marriage and the season that Bill asked for a divorce, and then the struggles with your marriage as well. So for God to say, you know what, ladies, I've written your story. This is what you went through. You have found victory in your walk. You struggled, but you keep getting up and you keep moving forward. We're going to take this to not just the two of you, but to many more women. And He is literally doing that. He's multiplying. It's just incredible what He's doing with the Imperfect Wives. If you're interested in joining what's going on with The Imperfect Wives, you can connect with us at our blog at theimperfectwives.com. We are getting ready to have a makeover. We are updating our blog because we have resources and, you know, Rebecca, we have so much going on with The Imperfect Wives, and our blog where it's at just isn't where we need it to be to handle everything that needs to be updated. So we're pretty excited about that. Randy from Bliss and Tell Branding Design, if any of you know her, she is the one that is the mastermind behind our update, and she's doing a beautiful job. we get to sit down with her yesterday and go through three totally different concepts, and we had a good time. And found out Rebecca and I like a lot of the same things.
We did. Well, we already kind of knew that.
Yeah, it's we do tend to do that. So anyway, we do have some local groups other than San Diego and Beaufort, South Carolina, and you can find that list on the blog as well and see if there's one in your area. And if you're interested in starting a group, a local group, you can fill out our application, which just simply gives us your information and allows you to share your heart with us. And we will get in contact with you within usually 24 hours. As soon as we see it come through, we take care of it then. So let's get started. Yes. Is there anything that you wanted to share before I say that?
No. You covered it
no?
all.
Okay.
You did great.
We, you know, yesterday we talked about, I mean, not yesterday. Goodness, it feels like yesterday was last week's show. Last week we talked about the power of praying God's word over your children. And there was a lot of chatter about that show. In fact, it's had so many archive listens that you and I have both been encouraged and our team has been encouraged because that tells us that we're hitting on an area that that God really wants to speak to people and we're an area they need to hear. So we're praying that today's show will be just as powerful for you as last week because today we're talking about our husbands. And as those of you who listen every week with us, you know that our husbands are, we are very passionate about Bill Zach and Robert LeCoq, individually, of course, respectfully, of course. And so, Rebecca, we're gonna talk today about some of the things. We're really going to focus on you and Rob today. And you're going to share with us some of the areas that you've not only struggled in, but that you've had triumph in. And you're going to share some scriptures with us this morning and talk to us about how to apply God's word through prayer in your marriage. So would you like to start us with prayer?
Yes.
Since we're talking about prayer,
let's
we always start
pray.
With prayer.
If you can, close your eyes and lift your hearts and your hands before the Lord. And I want you to pray along with me. I don't want you to simply listen. I want you to actively engage your faith so that you position yourself to receive what God has for you during this time together. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you. We are passionate about you because you are the one true and living God. There is none like you in all the earth. And Lord, we thank you that you have called us your own, that we are your daughters.
Yeah.
Lord, what a privilege and an honor that is. Lord, we don't deserve it, but you have given us the ability to be your girls because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're so very grateful. And Lord, we don't want to squander a moment of this life that you have given us. And so, Lord, we say, have your way in our hearts today. Mold us and shape us, change us. Make us more like Jesus. Develop us into the women, the wives, the disciples that you have ordained that we should be so that we can fulfill your plan, your purpose, and your calling on our lives so that we can do all that we need to do. But most importantly, so that we can be who you want us to be, Lord. And out of that being will flow the doing that you have set before us.
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for your word that is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it accomplishes your purposes. And Lord, we thank you for it because it's our weapon in our hand. Lord, it's our comfort and our strength when we feel weak. Lord, it's a reminder of all that you have promised, all that you've already done for men and women, people just like us who've put their faith and their hope and their trust in you. And we thank you, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons. If you've done it for somebody else, you'll do it for us as well because you love us.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're expecting more of you, more of your spirit, more of your presence, more of your power in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I love what, for those of you that don't know, as you're listening, we do have a live chat room on our show, and one of the ladies said the success here is that we strive to agree with God, with what God has to say about each of us in our similar roles, in our very similar roles. And we do have to agree, because Rebecca, you said in the beginning, activate, actively engage your faith as you listen for God's voice, and then say, yes, Lord. So we're going to learn how to say, yes, Lord, today on the show. You're supposed to laugh.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to read the chat room, and we all know that Rebecca LeCompte does not multitask.
Rebecca's not good at multitasking. That's all right. That's, you know, actually one of the things we love about you, because it's cute. You and Robert, how long have you guys been married?
23 years. Whoa.
Wow.
I don't feel old enough to have been married 23 years. Let's just say that, but I am. And we didn't get married at like 11 or something like that. You know, we were much, we were. Sheree, I'm just so excited. I'm sorry. I'm just, I am full of anticipation at what God wants to do in our hearts this morning and what he's done in my life when I think about it. Because what our audience doesn't know is that we didn't start out this way, you know, to for you to ask me some questions and for us to focus on Rob and me. Really, our initial desire was to just talk about the Word. And you know me, I like to do it from a teacher's perspective, which
right.
means not so much of me and lots of just the Word. But when I started thinking about all that he's done, oh, Lord, thank you. He's so good to us, Sheree.
He is. So you guys have been married 23 years. Can you share with us what the first few years of your marriage was like, you know, as you, you got married? And what was the climate like for you?
Well, you know, I've said this before. It wasn't real great, you know. I was not born again when we got married. I loved God, but I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus at that time in my life. I went to church every Sunday, but I wasn't alive. And, you know, God was so gracious to me because he knew my heart. He knew that my heart was for him as much as I had understanding. And so he just kept drawing me, and he orchestrated things so perfectly that, you know, within the, I don't know, I'm trying to think exactly, within the first year and a half, I gave my heart to the Lord, and Robert had been born again at age 8, but he had not been discipled, but we loved each other, Sheree. I mean, we were so in love. I mean, it's, it, you know, if anybody were in here, I'd probably be blushing because that's personal. You know, you're supposed to love your husband, but I'm like crazy in love with my husband. I think he is wonderful, and I was so excited to marry him. I was so excited, in fact, that, you know, my parents had said to me when we got engaged, you know, we really want you to finish college before you get married. And I wanted to honor them and respect what they wanted for me and listen to their wisdom. So I orchestrated things with the University of Florida so that I could graduate a semester early. And I got married the day after I graduated. I had turned 21 that month and got graduated on Friday, got married on Saturday. So I honored and obeyed my parents to the letter of the law, but maybe not to the spirit that they were hoping for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything was good, and then we got married. And then life sort of fell apart. And within that first year, within the first 6 months, really, we the word divorce had been discussed. And, you know, we were both, I think, privately in our thoughts, kind of shaking our heads and going, how in the world did we go from being so in love and still being in love, but thinking we can't live together? And it was not good. It was really not good. Robert was pretty desperate. And a friend of ours who was in the process of getting a divorce saw that we were in desperate straits. He was probably the only person who really knew how bad things were behind the scenes, because we're like so many people, Sheree. We hid it pretty well. That in public we were pleasant, and you know, everything seemed like it was okay. Nobody was coming to us going, "Are you guys all right?" It was just this one friend, and he knew some friends who had a ministry where they, you know, I'm just going to say this, they had a deliverance ministry, and they came to our house one weekend in October, and it was in 1990, and they prayed for us, and it was really powerful, and that was a life-changing, life-defining moment for us.
How long had you guys been married at this point?
9 months.
You'd only been married 9 months. You know, Rebecca, we hear a lot about when marriages first start that, you know, there's that 7 year of honeymoon, and then once you hit the 7 years, that's when everything, you know, that's when the trials hit, and you start looking at your husband like he's kind of crazy. You know, I mean, we kind of laugh, but we've all heard those stories. But for you guys, it happened in 9 months. What do you think the change was? You know, what changed in your marriage to cause the conflict?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that happened was that Robert, just a couple of weeks before we got married, he got baptized. And he had quite an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He heard the Holy Spirit as he was in this lake in North Central Florida. And the Holy Spirit said, "Why are you doing this?" And Robert said, "You know, I'm dying to myself, and I'm going to be raised to new life." New life in Christ. And he came up out of that water, Sheree, and he was glowing. I mean, the glory of God was all over him, and everyone who was there could see it. And it was amazing. And that was really a transformational moment for him. And because we became one flesh in just a couple of weeks after that, it was really a transformational moment for me as well. And he, you know, he had been attending church with me. You know, we had been going to church. But he really got passionate after that experience. And he started reading the Word, and he started really pursuing. And God started unfolding the calling on his life at that point.
And this was after you guys had gone to the deliverance?
This was
the
before.
The church had the deliverance.
No, this was before. This was right before we got married. And so so within just a couple of weeks before we got married, he had this experience, and we got married in December, and in January he started just diving into the Word of God. And so, I mean, that's really kind of when all hell broke loose, seriously.
And you came to salvation when?
I came to salvation probably a year later, but I wasn't resisting.
Okay.
You know, I was seeking God. I was in church. I just didn't know. And how I came to salvation actually was we had subscribed to a ministry's magazine, and there was a sinner's prayer in the back of it 1 month, and I was sitting there reading it, and I'm like, well, I've never prayed this before. I had never heard that, and I just sat there in my living room and, you know, prayed that prayer that was printed there and got born again right there in my living room, which was amazing, which was absolutely amazing. And so we continued for a while, and things got better. And then and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit that night in October in 1990. And so that was a pivotal moment too, because he started interceding for people and praying, and it was, you know, God was really growing him quickly. And, you know, I came along pretty close behind. I think when Nathaniel was, so it was probably in February, March of 1993, I got baptized in water and baptized in the Spirit on the same day. And that, again, was at the next kind of pivotal moment. And that was when the Holy Spirit started speaking to us about seminary. And so we had this period where things got worse, and then things got better, and then we went to seminary, and things got a whole lot worse. You know, just when you think.
Just when you think everything. So take us back to when, because you said a few moments ago that everything, you know, the shifting happened, everything changed, and that's when everything fell apart. What happened?
Well, are you talking about initially in that first year of marriage? Is
mm-hmm.
that the question?
Yeah.
Well, we were just fighting. We could not agree on anything. We couldn't have a civil conversation privately. I don't talk about it much because it was such a painful season of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know any of the word at that point to stand on. I mean, I just was, my head was spinning and I was hurting and he was hurting. We were hurting each other daily. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't super dramatic in that, you know, there wasn't one huge blowout where the police were called or anything like that. But
right.
it was just constant, continual. We couldn't get along. And it was the enemy, I know now in retrospect, trying to pull us apart because he knew that if we could ever get to the point where we were both hearing God and we were both walking with the Lord, that, you know, because God has ordained marriage, you know, as his, you know, one of his vehicles for getting the gospel out as far as, you know, it's the picture of Christ and the church, that it would be dangerous to him, to the enemy. And so he fought us a lot, and we were desperate. And that deliverance moment in October of 1990 was so important. We were like different people after that. And we just, not to say that we never argued again, because, of course, that wouldn't be real. But, you know, we knew
right.
We were able to resolve things. It wasn't like it was a continual argument that just sort of picked up fresh every single day.
Rebecca, take us through the first scripture that God really ministered to you through, and tell us how he used it to begin to shape your marriage in the direction that he wanted it to go, or he wants it to go.
Well, I think that probably the very first thing that he started talking to me about was knowing the truth, and it is not the first thing in our notes. The notes are not in chronological order, just for you and Kim, just so you know. So, but that would be Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and this is from the English Standard Version. And it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And, you know, of course, God married that with Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that became so important to me, that I would know the truth and that Robert would know the truth. And so mm-hmm. I just really prayed that God would show us the truth in every situation.
Yeah. So as you began to pray the scripture, God started highlighting other scriptures to you. Talk with us about another scripture that really ministered to you, and tell us how God used it.
Well, one of the things that the Lord, after we talked about the truth, it became so important to me that Robert and I would hear God's voice, and we would know what he was saying, because we were like everybody else, Sheree. We knew that we needed mm-hmm. to know what God wanted us to do. And so one of the scriptures that that the Lord really highlighted was John chapter 10, verse 27, also from the English Standard Version, which says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And you and I have talked about this a lot. So
this is
foundational. You know, when we talked about that in our show, The Voice of a Stranger, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And that, to me, okay, I'm his sheep. And it says emphatically, they follow me. You know, Jesus knows me, and I follow him. And so I would say that about myself, because I was afraid that I would miss it. I was so afraid that I would miss God, and he would remind me, you're going to follow me because it says so in my word. And that was a truth that was setting me free from that fear. And then another one that I stood on a lot was Romans 8:14, which says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And I sort of reversed that, and I said, well, I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, and so I'm led by the Spirit of God. And so I would tell myself these things because I didn't want to miss God and I didn't want to be afraid. And, you know, Robert and I did a lot of praying in agreement, you know, that we would hear the same things and we wouldn't move forward until we were in unity. You know, if we didn't agree, if we didn't hear the same thing in prayer, then we wouldn't do anything.
Right.
And we just kind of sit on it and come back to it and pray again, especially about the major life decisions.
Hmm. Now, one of the things I'm noticing about these verses is you can easily turn them around and pray them over Robert as well. As you're beginning to understand God's word and you're starting to see proof that he is answering, you know, your prayer as you pray, as you, how do you say it? Receive it and believe it. The word says, you're receiving God's word for yourself and you're believing in Jesus' name by his stripes, you know, that you are healed. I mean, there's so many conversations you and I have had as we've grown together as sisters and as women and as friends. Share one of the scriptures that you've prayed over Rob and you have seen God work mightily because of what you've done.
Oh.
And what his word says.
You know, I think, you know, one of the things for Robert, and he would be okay with me sharing this because he shared it about himself, is, you know, that the battlefield for him and for me, and I think for many of us, is really in our thoughts. And we still wrestle with that. We still realize that we're wrestling with that, even when maybe we don't recognize it initially. And understanding who we are in Christ, that was important for Robert because we knew from a very early stage that we were called to full-time ministry, but it was a process, as life is,
right,
to get to that point. And so he needed to know who he was in Christ because that was vital. And I think whether someone is called to full-time ministry like Robert is, you know, where you have a title, we're all called to be full-time ministers and sharing the light of Christ and extending the hope of the gospel to people. And so I prayed a lot of times, I mean, for a season, every single day, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which says, and I would say it like this, Robert is a chosen race. Robert is a royal priest, part of a holy nation, and Robert is a person for God's own possession. And that Robert proclaims the excellencies of God who called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. That once Robert was not part of a people, but now he is God's, and he has received mercy. And I would say that over him, and he usually wasn't in the room, Cherie. You and I talk about that. We do a lot of praying for our husband when he isn't around. And I would pray that, and I could see him just like if you were watering a seed, and you could see the little, you know, tender shoots come up and that plant start to develop. I could see him incrementally start to change and start to understand who he was in Christ and what he was created to do. And that was so exciting to me to see that.
One of the aspects I love about the scripture you just read, and I'm not sure if you thought about it, but it truly does minister to the path that God has for him, the steps that he needs to take. I hadn't thought about this before, but there's scriptures that talk about, you know, that we can pray over husbands who work with their hands. There's scriptures that we can pray over husbands who have to use their minds. Maybe they're a doctor or they're an optician like mine is, or, you know, whatever their career paths are, there are scriptures to cover them in those areas. And if it's okay, I'm getting pretty excited. 'Cause because I hadn't thought about that before. I mean, I prayed the scripture, revealed it out of, now I can't even remember where it is, but it talks about, you know, that God, I think it's Psalms, where the word says that God will put them before king's men.
Yes.
You know, the decisions that God makes for him, man cannot take away. And I've prayed that over Bill so much now that I've paraphrased it into my own words. You know, and then that whenever Bill is, whenever he has to make a decision about, when he was making the decision to change as he was transitioning out of the Navy and into the workforce, the scripture that I prayed a lot is out of Isaiah. You know, Lord, go before Bill and make the crooked path straight. And go before him, speak to them before he even gets there, allow him to find great favor. And all of these scriptures are kind of coming together after years of praying them. But I had not thought about the fact that there are scriptural verses that are set just, you know, that you can pray over your husband specifically for his job. So we'll have to work on that when you and I have time and see if we can put some together and get those posted on the blog for our readers, for the listeners. Because I'm sure you're curious and you'd like to, as you're listening, I'm sure you're thinking, well, you know, my husband has a landscaping job. Well, I can think of scriptures for that right off the bat. So that's really cool. I hadn't thought about that before. All right, Rebecca, so you're talking about, you know, Rob's been called to pastor. You've had a huge transition in your life because you're transitioning into seminary. Share with us a little bit about how that went and how God spoke to you during that season.
Oh, my goodness. I think we were young and, you know, foolish. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think the way we did it was absolutely the wrong way. We were filled with faith, but we were not filled with wisdom. And we left for Florida to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to go to Oral Roberts University. And we did not have jobs lined up. We did not have enough money. Oh, my goodness. I just praise God for his mercy and his grace and for some family members who were willing to keep us from being homeless.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We really were not very smart. And God is so good. And here we are all these years later, and everything has worked out just fine. And so we are kind of like the poster children for, you know, God's got this.
How not to do it.
How not to do it, and God will save your bacon anyway, even when you do it the wrong way. And I laugh, but it is so true. And I'm just so grateful. So we got there, and we really had no money, and we really had nothing. And we moved into married student housing, and I got a job at the daycare center on campus. And so Nathaniel and I went there every day. And it was hard. I mean, we faced some really enormous trials, which I just praise God for his delivering power. And one of the scriptures at that season of my life, Cherie, that the Lord kept ministering to, because he speaks to us through these stories in the Bible. I know he speaks to you that way, through these real people who trusted him and saw his delivering power. But the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego really ministered to me at that season, because we really went through a trial, it was like a fiery furnace, and it was hot, and we just had to keep walking through. And the passage from that story that the Lord kept bringing to my understanding was from Daniel 3, verse 27, which said, "The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them." And that last part, I just kept proclaiming, because it was what the Lord had dropped in my spirit, that we would not smell like fire, that when people who didn't know what we had been through saw us after we were through it, that they would have no idea unless we chose to reveal to them what we had gone through, that they would have no idea. And that is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. He completely delivered us from this terrible trial, and he set us free, and there was no smell of smoke. And that was miraculous to me. And I'm so very grateful for that, you know, because we couldn't have done it ourselves.
can you share with us, if you're able to, just like one story from what you guys went through? Why was it such a fire, and how God used his word to, you know, in that moment? Is there like one moment that you can think of?
Well, I, you know, I just think about that. What I'll share in broad strokes, but there was an accusation against Robert that was completely, totally, utterly false, and it was completely, you know, an attack, a scheme against him meant to completely derail us from the calling God had put on our lives. And we had people who we thought were our friends there stop talking to us because of the accusation, people we had gone to ask for prayer and support. And instead of receiving that prayer and support, we were rejected. And that was so painful. But, you know, the people who knew us stood by us. Thelma, who is in the chat room, who's one of our Imperfect Wives leaders, has been such a dear friend of ours from the very beginning, you know. She knew the truth, and she would encourage us. She would, you know, she was praying for us. She was one of many, but we were just so grateful. And I, you know, I think about how much courage it took for Robert to keep going to class, knowing that these people had judged him and believed that false report. And, you know, Nathaniel and I had to leave Oklahoma for a little while, and I was pregnant with Jesse, and to be separated, and, you know, to. But we didn't want to be, but it was the advice, the counsel that we were given, you know, and it was wisdom. And just to know that we were going to, that everything would be all right, but just to stand and see, you know, because there was nothing we could do. There was really nothing we could do. And we just had to stand and wait for the Lord's deliverance. And sometimes that's what we have to do in the face of persecution, that we just have to stand. So if your husband is being persecuted, and maybe it's not to the level that we were, but maybe he's being persecuted on the job just because he's a believer.
Right. Just right. Ask
the Lord what he wants you to do. Maybe he just wants you to do what we did, which was stand and wait for his deliverance. Because he is able, and he desires to. We are his, Sheree. You know that. We are his, and he's going to take care of us.
One of the scriptures, Rebecca, that you know, that you shared with me is out of Ephesians 1:16-23. And you have a lot of words highlighted in these verses, and they are powerful verses. Can you share that with us and what they mean to you?
I would love to. And I'm going to say the scripture reference again. This is Ephesians. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And this is something that Robert and I prayed over ourselves, and I would pray for him privately, because, Sheree, you and I have talked about so many times how what we receive from God and what we think about, it informs, it changes what we do, how we think, what we say, what we do, and that we need to understand and have God's thoughts. And so I'm going to read all of this, and I'm going to read it with Robert's name in it, but you can put your own name in it, you can put your husband's name in it, and you can even say it by faith for those of you whose husbands are not yet born again. You can still pray this for your husband, you know, because those are words of faith that he will one day walk in fulfillment of these words. So for this reason, because I have heard of Robert's faith in the Lord Jesus and his love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for Robert, remembering him in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give Robert the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of Robert's heart enlightened, that he may know what is the hope to which he has been called. What are the glorious riches? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward Robert, who believes, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and a power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The things, Cherie, that are in there that really ministered to us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in you as a saint, and the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward Robert, toward you, Cherie, toward Bill, because we believe. And just putting that in the context of what Jesus has done, you know, that is so very important. And what we saw was that as we started saying, we need your spirit of wisdom, we need revelation, we need the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. And I would pray that over him in moments when he was down and he was having difficulty hearing, you know, getting direction from the Lord, that those were words of faith. And God, those are God's words about Robert. They're God's words about Bill. They're God's words about us. And agreeing and speaking those out is so powerful. Because, you know, the last thing I wanted to say, the reason for that is because the word says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, we hear the word of God. When we hear ourselves say it, it's so powerful.
It is. So as you know, and you and I have talked about this many times, as you pray these scriptures and you put Rob's name in them, and, you know, you and I have both written our husband's names in our Bible in the scriptures and, you know, written our children's names in the scriptures, our faith is encouraged and strengthened. And one of the things that you and I have talked about is, as we have prayed these verses over Bill and over Rob, we not only, you know, when we start praying them, it's our heart is, Lord, please bring this to pass. I'm praying this, God, and I'm believing in faith that you're going to bring this to pass. But as we've prayed these scriptures for a while, we start actually seeing this come to pass. What have you seen in Rob? What are the changes you've seen in him as you've prayed God's word over him?
Oh, Cherie, I mean, the list is so long because, you know, Robert he wasn't raised in a Christian home, so he didn't have that great foundation of the Word of God being poured into him, being prayed over him, you know, by parents. And so we really were growing up in the Lord together, learning, and so, you know, I saw so many changes. I saw him go from being somebody who had a quick fuse, anger-wise, to somebody who's, you know, much calmer, you know, that he is able to control his emotions in ways that he couldn't when we started this journey, that he is much more settled in and much more confident that God is going to move on his behalf and open the right doors for him. You know, there isn't that fear. That fear has fallen off of him to such a great extent. Of course, you know, we all get attacked from time to time, but we know how to deal with the attack now. His mind has been transformed so amazingly. And, you know, sometimes, Cherie, honestly, I forget. And so this has been really good for me to stop and take inventory of all that God has done, because Robert's thought process is so different. And I keep coming back to that because it really was, our journey has been so much about what are you thinking? Because what you think changes what you say. You know, if you change what you think, you change what you say, you change what you do, and then that changes everything. But you've got to think the right things. And so I think also Robert walking in confidence
Amen.
That God has called him to do what God has called him to do, and that he doesn't need to be apologetic. He doesn't need to be afraid. He doesn't need to be concerned. He is, his hope is in the Lord, and that he's trusting God to do it, that he doesn't have to do it in his own strength anymore. And that, to me, is so exciting because it takes the pressure off and it releases joy, because then it's not about your ability, your intelligence, your hard work. Mm-hmm. It's about the presence of God and the power that flows when you get out of the way.
Right, when we get out of the way. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed as we pray over our husbands, as we pray God's word over our husbands, it feels like we're creating a prayer barrier around them. It's giving them a safe place to continue to move, you know, freely. As we see that their minds are coming under attack, we pray the scriptures over their minds for a sound mind, for a clear vision, like you said. One of the areas that hits marriages a lot is the area of submission. And one of the scriptures that you pulled is Ephesians 5:25, where it talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. There's more to this scripture. Tell us about what this scripture means in your marriage, and have you seen where Rob has given up something for you as his wife?
Oh, so many times. You know, this scripture is so powerful. I think this was actually one of the scriptures that I was praying for Robert, and he was also praying for himself. And I'm going to read 25:28-31 and verse 33, all from Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. Those are really powerful because, you know, we were like many couples, Sheree, that whole leaving father and mother and holding fast to your wife. Robert didn't have a clear understanding of that. He didn't have a model of that, and it took a while for that to catch on. I mean, it happened, and it happened in stages. And there came a point at probably, I don't know, we've probably been married 15 years, so that's a long time, where he finally, there was this one moment where he stood up, you know, in his thoughts and then in his actions, and he said, this is enough. You know, this situation between him and his parents and me had reached the kind of the breaking point, and he drew the line in the sand, and he said, she's the most important. What's going on in my home is more important. And if we can't make this work as an extended family with the right biblical perspective and the right order of things, then we're going to have to make a little break and pull back a little bit, have a higher boundary, if you will. And for me, Sheree, that took a lot of time. That was a long time coming for me. And I was so very grateful. That was probably another pivotal moment in our marriage. And I knew that was a result of prayer, that I couldn't make him do it because I had tried to talk to him about it. But he had to have a revelation from the Lord. And when he did that, that was so amazing. But I think about all the little things, you know, like, you know, he drove the clunker car, you know, for up until recently, you know, that he goes without, you know, he makes sure that I have the things that I need and a lot of what I want, and he goes without things that he wants at times, you know, to take care of me, that he gives up his comfort. And an example last night was we went out to dinner with some dear friends of ours from our congregation, and we were on the way back, and I needed to run into the grocery store, and it was a grocery store in not the greatest area, but it was convenient on our way home. And I had said, I need to run in and grab something, and then I got into the parking lot, and I realized that I didn't really feel safe. And I just said, hey, can you run in with me? And I knew that he was tired, and he was planning just to sit there in the car while I ran in. And he, without fussing, got out of the car and walked in with me, had a sweet attitude. And when we came out, we were someone in the parking lot came up and asked for money. And he got me safely into the car, and he got in, and he goes, you were right. I needed to come in with you. And I was just so grateful that he did, and that he did it without a bad attitude at all. He did it with a really sweet attitude. But he said, you know, I just thought at first you were maybe being a little silly, a little overreactive, but he didn't let me know it until afterwards when, you know, the situation proved that I had basis for what I was feeling. And I just was so grateful that he's a guy who's willing to give up his own even little tiny comfort like that to take care of me.
One of the areas you and I talk about is praying with the right attitude. And as we're getting close to bringing this show to an end, talk about, you know, the difference between praying with the right attitude and praying when you were frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated, Rebecca, and prayed the scripture for your husband in a negative way for Rob?
Yeah, many, many times. So let's be real here. I mean, raise your hand if you haven't done that. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think that. I absolutely. And, you know, the great thing is, you know, God's so gracious, Sheree, that he'll let us pray those things, and then he'll rein us in, you know, because he's big enough to handle our sin and our wrong attitude. But he's also, you know, loves us enough to say, hey, girl, you can't do that. You've got to get right. You've got to get the right attitude and stop looking at him like he is the entire problem. You know, he's a blessing to you, and you've got to get your attitude right, and maybe you got to change some stuff. The Lord's always talking to me about changing.
Okay. It really is important that we do that. And we actually have a gentleman named Matthew that would like to ask a question. So hold on just a second. Let me bring him on. Matthew, are you there?
I am absolutely here. I want to thank you so much for allowing me to come on and ask this question. And I'm catching the tail end of your show. And as you can see by my chat idea, I'm also a host on Blog Talk Radio. We have a show called Fishing for Souls Radio. But I don't know the young, I don't know. Yes, ma'am, I am. I don't know the young lady's name that was just speaking about her husband and that happened to get out of the car. And what is her name? Because my question is addressed to her.
Okay, Matthew. Rebecca is my co-host for Perfect Wives Radio, and so Rebecca is who is talking. We're kind of switching things up, and I'm interviewing her.
That's awesome. Now, listen, I want to make sure that I'm very clear. You guys, I want to thank you, and I thank Jesus for you guys for stepping up, because unfortunately in today's society, and your radio show happened to catch my attention because we are doing a series on true men of God, okay? And unfortunately, what I am finding in most family situations is, you know, the men are no longer the spiritual leaders in the house. It's and women are so seeking God that they are taking that role, and it's actually out of balance. And I need to be very careful what I say, because I don't want to ever promote that men are, you know, that men are greater or more powerful or anything more than women. However, in biblical standards, the men are called to be the spiritual leaders, and that is for a reason. It's because God gave us the instinct to fight. God gave us the instinct to protect, and I am seeing, and she said something that kind of, not raised a red flag, but just kind of pointed my ears up, and she had said, all good and awesome and sweet, Rebecca, you had said that, you know, he was tired and I don't know what you were fearful for asking him, but you asked him to come out of the car and come in there with him, and he did. And you had said as you guys were coming out, a man had asked you for money. And then you said he maybe kind of stepped in and got you into the car safely. Jesus says in his word that if you don't do it to the least of these, then you don't do it to me. And so my question is, do we think, and let me see how articulate I can be with this. This will be a three-part question. Number one, I hope that we realize that it takes more to be a Christian than clicking a like Christianity button on your Facebook page, or for the man putting his arm around his wife saying, oh, I'll protect you, I'll be your bodyguard, or let's read some scripture together. I mean, the man, you know, a true man of God, number one, right? You know, if you look at the qualities of a true husband, a true man of God, we must stand with these traits, righteousness. And not just in building, you know, labeled as a church, but in every step that we take. Godliness. You know, people should see Jesus when they hear you, see you, and when they touch you.
Right.
You know, we have to remember, we are called to look like him every day. So if we, you know, so many people have come up to me and say, hey, Matthew, you know, we love your outreach, but, or, hey, Matt, I'm a Christian. And then I turn around and I see them walk to the other side of the street because of the homeless guy that hasn't taken a bath in a month. How many of those Christians have actually walked up to that homeless person and say, hey, come in my car. Let me take you for a meal or for a shower.
Matthew.
Yes, ma'am.
We actually, Rebecca and I both have huge outreach hearts, and we are working in outreach every day constantly. But the show's not about that. And I know that you came in at the tail end. The show's actually, we're talking about praying God's word over our husbands. And I was asking Rebecca about some different times that she has taken God's word and prayed it over love and how she has seen the fruit of that come. So, unfortunately,
and that was
going
to lead to the third part of the question. Right.
Right. So, I mean, we, you know, so Rebecca, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
And Rebecca, and I agree with you. You're right. I did come in the tail end, but all that was leading up to this question. When we pray over, like, if I were to, I'm not married, but if I were to pray over my wife, or you guys pray over your husbands, let me ask you a question: How many times, or do you pray over and ask God to strengthen his spiritual nature and to become to where he is the true spiritual leader of the house, Rebecca?
Oh, Matthew, my husband is an ordained minister, and that's something that he prays for himself and I pray for him consistently.
Awesome.
The first part of the show that you missed, we talked about praying for wisdom, praying for spiritual insight and revelation. And we were just talking about how, you know, it's in every single area that
you're right.
Our prayers are effective, and, you know, he prays, and he is definitely the spiritual leader of our family, without a doubt, 100%. But he also knows that I am, you know, listening and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he trusts me
enough
to know that when I ask for something, that I'm not asking just, you know, on a whim, or that if I say the Lord said this, he will listen and he will take it in prayer, and, you know, he doesn't discount me. And that was kind of the context.
And I agree with you, Rebecca. Now, let me ask you, and that is so awesome, and I'm so thankful for that. But now, on the statement that I had made, are you finding, or is your husband finding, that the point that I made earlier, that in so many houses today, that, the spiritual leader is not the man? And
right.
I so desperately want to try and help that situation and fix that situation, but we know that it's not us that does it. But Why do you think that is?
Well, I just think that, you know, part of it is the way that God created men and women. Women are much more wired for relationship, including relationship with God, that is an easier thing for us to do. And men have to, you know, they have to press in and they have to desire that. And when they access that, it is powerful.
Amazing.
And women, and what we, you know, the heart of our message, Matthew, is that women need to seek God. They need to be godly women, but they also need to get out of the way and make room for their husbands to take that spiritual headship. We don't want that. That, because God says it's for the husband. But, Sheree, I hear that we have about 30 seconds
we
left.
We do. We do. Matthew, thank you
guys
for
are awesome. Thank
morning.
You so much.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry that
thank
we
you.
Have to let you go.
Oh, no problem. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. For those of you who are still listening, thank you for joining us this morning. We are excited that you are here with us, and we hope that you'll join us next week, and we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.